Well, we are out and about again, having made or making, I guess, still an unplanned trip to Delaware. A very good friend of ours that was in the last church where we served passed away. And so we wanted to come up for the funeral, and then I was asked to take part in the funeral and to be a pallbearer. So we were glad to be able to come up and do it. That's one of the joys, I guess, of being retired, that when something happens, you can go and help out or take care of it, whatever it may be. But we're staying with our son, Aaron, and his wife, Adrian, and their daughters. And so it's good to see a couple of the grandkids for a week or so as we're up here. And we've gotten to see a lot of friends, people that were in the churches where we served, actually three different places where we served, two in Delaware and one in Maryland. And so that's been really good. And I guess I should say this trip was unplanned by us, but it was on God's agenda for us. Because when God says go or do this or don't do that, we need to be able to follow. And we can follow with confidence because we know that God always has the very, very best for us. Even though it might not seem like it at the time, we know that it ultimately is the best thing we can do, is to follow where it is that He leads. So let's pray. Father, we just give You thanks that You are who You are. You are God. You are the creator of the universe. You are the creator of us as humans. And Lord, You have put Your Spirit in us. And so, Father, we just praise You for that, because we've been made in Your likeness. But Lord, sometimes we want to do our own thing and go our own way, and You let us do that. You know how successful or unsuccessful that may be for us, but You allow us to go and do. And sometimes we wise up and we follow Your ways. We check with other believers. We look in Your Word. We do a lot of praying, and we follow the way that You want us to go. So Lord, help us to be more attentive to what You want us to do and to be ready to follow no matter where that may take us. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, leadership is what I want to talk about today. No matter who we are or what we have done, we've had to follow leaders. You remember playing a game, Follow the Leader, as kids? You know, the leader would just kind of take you all over. If you were outside, the leader may take you, you know, under a fence or over a fence, take you through tight places that they could fit through and thought maybe some of the people following couldn't follow, places that he or she, you know, could go and do, and he was just kind of hoping that some following couldn't, because that was the name of the game, is to try and lose your followers. And so if you were a good leader at Follow the Leader, you'd be able to do that game pretty well. Well, I looked in the dictionary to see what it says about a leader. And it says one that leads, duh, or guides, one who is in charge or in command of others, one who heads a political party or organization, one who has influence or power, especially of a political nature. And pertaining to music, you know, a leader would be a conductor, especially of an orchestra or band or a choral group, or the leader may be the principal performer in an orchestral section or group. Or looking at the animal kingdom, it's the foremost animal, such as a horse or a dog in a harnessed team. Okay, I've never done any dog sledding, but it's my understanding that, you know, that lead dog, you know, got there because it was a leader and had a strong personality, I guess. So I found this too when I was searching about leaders, and it gave the best qualities of good leaders. And they are vision, courage, integrity, humility, strategic planning, focus, and cooperation. Now, some of us may have had the privilege of working under someone like that, but for someone to have all of those qualities, that was really kind of rare. Maybe you had that blessing, and there may be a few of you listening that say, hey, that sounds just like me. You know, I'm all those things. Maybe you are, and maybe not. Okay. And most of us have had the displeasure of working with someone that had few or none of those qualities. I remember when I was in the Army at Fort Belvoir after I'd come back from Vietnam, I was first supply clerk and then supply sergeant at the officer candidate school in one of the companies. And part of my job was to take the laundry to where they did the laundry on the base. And everybody that worked there was civilians, including the boss. And the boss that was there was not possessing any of those qualities that I could see. I mean, most everybody else that worked in there were women. And he just kind of ruled the roost in a very bad way. Every other word out of his mouth was a swear word. And, you know, just demeaning people and, you know, calling people names and everything. And so he's not the kind of boss that you really wanted to work for. You know, and I can't imagine that anybody would have worked there for very long. Well, in the Old Testament, we read about a lot of kings, okay? The good, the bad, and the ugly. The kings of Judah and Israel and foreign kings. Some names are familiar, like Jehoshaphat, Ahab, maybe Manasseh, Nebuchadnezzar. Some ruled many years, 41 years, 50 years, 52 years. Some short, 3 months, 1 month, 7 days. Some followed God, like Hezekiah and Josiah. And some were evil, Jehoiakim, Jeroboam, Zimri. And Zimri, he was only a king for 7 days. I'm not sure if his evilness had something to do with that. But some people liked and were glad to have different ones ruling. Some of them even really didn't mind having the evil kings ruling because they were on the evil king's good side. Some lost their property. Some lost their lives. But here's a question that we may have, and that is, why did God allow these evil kings to reign? Jeroboam, 41 years of evil. Amaziah, he was good when he was young, but then as he got older, he became evil, for part of his 29 years. And then, I guess, maybe not the worst king of all, but the one that was in there the longest was Manasseh, 55 years of evil. Well, the answer to why did God allow them to reign is, I don't know. You know, often people got what they thought they wanted in evil leaders. You know, they enjoyed the evil. They enjoyed the idol worship. And they enjoyed the freedom to sin. You know, because maybe they had been under a good king, you know, that said, you know, you can't do this and you got to do that, you know, to follow God's laws. And so then when an evil king came along, they thought, oh, great, you know, we don't have to follow those laws anymore. We can do whatever we want to. But God allowed them to reign and to just do their own thing, just like he allows us to do the same. You know, we have our free will. Well, now I want to take a look at what God says about leaders. And he says much in the New Testament. Let's look in Colossians chapter 1, verses 15 and 16, and this is from the NIV. It says, the Son is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn over all creation. For in him all things were created, things in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or powers or rulers or authorities. All things have been created through him and for him. So God created the ruler and the authorities, whether they were good or evil. Leaders that we love and leaders that we hate. And leaders that we have no problem following, you know, what the leader wants, you know, we agree with, and so we really don't have a problem following them. And then leaders that we really don't want anything to do with. We think that they're making a lot of bad decisions and, you know, are causing a lot of problems, and we're really not too interested in following them. But listen to what Paul says then in Romans chapter 13, verses 1 and 2. And this may be a kind of a hard one for us to swallow or get a hold of. And this is from the New Living Translation. It says, "Everyone must submit to governing authorities, for all authority comes from God, and those in positions of authority have been placed there by God. So anyone who rebels against authority is rebelling against what God has instituted, and they will be punished." So, if you're a believer, you need to suck it up, because God put him or her there in authority as your leader. Okay? Now, I don't want to make this into a political thing, but here in the U.S., we hear a lot of people say, well, you know, Donald Trump is not my president. Well, if you are a United States citizen, and especially if you're a believer, he is your president. You may not like him. You may not like his policies, but he is still the president of this country. Now, people didn't like things Old Testament kings did, but they still had to put up with that person being the king for however long they may have lasted. You know, we've had presidents here in the United States that I did not care for, but that person was still my president. Presidents that did many things that I did not agree with, but that person was still my president. Now, this makes 1 Timothy 2, verses 1 through 3, all the more important. This is from the Passion Translation. Paul writes to Timothy saying, "Most of all, I am writing to encourage you to pray with gratitude to God. Pray for all the men with all forms of prayers and requests as you intercede with intense passion, and pray for every political leader and representative so that we would be able to live tranquil, undisturbed lives as we worship the awe-inspiring God with pure hearts. It is pleasing to our Savior God to pray for them." Okay, I pray for our president. I've prayed for presidents in the past. And if I didn't care for their leadership, I prayed for them all the more, because I prayed that they would quit making decisions that I didn't care for and would start to follow things that I thought that the Lord was in favor of. Now look at what Jesus said about leaders and their taxes. Matthew 17:24-27, New Living Translation. It says, "On their arrival in Capernaum, the collectors of the temple tax came to Peter and asked him, 'Doesn't your teacher pay the temple tax?' 'Yes, he does,' Peter replied. Then he went into the house, but before he had a chance to speak, Jesus asked him, 'What do you think, Peter? Do kings tax their own people or the people that they have conquered?' 'They tax the people that they've conquered,' Peter replied. 'Well then,' Jesus said, 'the citizens are free. However, we don't want to offend them, so go down to the lake and throw in a line. Open the mouth of the first fish you catch, and you will find a large silver coin. Take it and pay the tax for both of us.'" I really like this, okay? I think Jesus has a great sense of humor, okay? Because he could have pulled a coin out of his pocket, or, you know, got it off the shelf or whatever. But he just thought, you know, Peter's always going to give me a hard time. Let me give Peter a hard time here. Because, you know, we know that Peter probably did it, but he probably thought, you know, this is stupid. You know, the fish isn't going to have any money in its mouth. But guess what? he was wrong, as happened quite often. But here Jesus is talking about more than paying taxes. He's talking about showing respect to the king, showing respect to the leader. Now, Paul talks about that respect in his first epistle in chapter 2, verses 13 to 17, and this is from the NIV. He says, "Submit yourselves for the Lord's sake to every human authority, whether to the emperor as a supreme authority or to governors who are sent by him to punish those who do wrong and to commend those who do right. For it is God's will that by doing good, you should silence ignorant talk of foolish people. Live as free people, but do not use your freedom as a cover-up for evil. Live as God's servants. Show proper respect to everyone. Love the family of believers. Fear God. Honor the emperor." It doesn't say, if you agree with the leaders over you, respect them. It does say, to every human authority, you are to show respect to the president, the governor, the representatives, the mayor, the town council, whoever it may be, because of the position that they have, you are to show respect to that person. It doesn't say that we have to agree with everything that they do, because we can show respect without falling lockstep behind them. You know, there are those in authority over me that say, you know, well, abortion, that's just a woman's right to choose. You know, that's health care. And, you know, it's not really a baby and all of this. And I am never going to agree with that. But if someone in authority over me, you know, has that belief or that feeling, I still am going to show respect to that person because of their position, not because of their convictions. You know, a couple of weeks ago, we had a representative that came to where we live to honor the Vietnam veterans. And, you know, they had a service and he handed out these certificates and pins and all that. And, you know, seemed like a really nice guy. But when I look at his voting record, you know, he's voted just the opposite in everything that I believe. But I respect the man because of the position that he has. Well, Titus gives me good advice that goes along with this. In chapter 3, verse 1, the New Living Translation, it says, "Remind the believers to submit to governors, to submit to government and its officers. They should be obedient, always ready to do what is good." Okay, that last phrase is my out here, I guess. Okay, I need to be always ready to do what is good. Doesn't say do everything the way you're told, or you must think just like the government and its officers think. Okay, we need to be able to think for ourselves and, you know, to follow what we know is right, even though leaders that we may have, you know, are going against several things of what it tells us in Scripture. So sometimes it seems that we are kind of caught between a rock and a hard place. The laws of our country or our state disagree with Scripture. Or there's no earthly law against something, but there is a biblical law that is against something. So we're looking at a conflict between man's law and God's law. And we know which we need to be following. But following God's law as opposed to man's could have results. You know, you could end up being arrested, paying fines, going to court, going to jail. So what are we going to do? Am I going to follow the leaders, the earthly ones, or am I going to follow the Lord? I think this is one of those questions we can't answer until we're maybe faced with that situation. As believers, we might say, well, I'll follow the Lord no matter what. But if we do follow the Lord no matter what, we could end up in jail. We could end up losing our job. We could end up having to pay huge fines of some kind. You know, our family may say, you know, well, we're not sticking around. You know, we can't put up with this. But maybe, just maybe, there are some times that we need to submit. Again, the circumstances make a difference. And sometimes we need to pick our battles. And Paul addresses this in Romans 13. We go back to verses 3 through 5 in the NIV. It says, "For rulers hold no terror for those who do right, but those who do wrong, do you want to be free from the fear of the one in authority? Then do what is right, and you will be commended. For the one in authority is God's servant for good. But if you do wrong, be afraid, for rulers do not bear the sword for no reason. They are God's servants, agents of wrath to bring punishment on the wrongdoer. Therefore, it is necessary to submit to the authorities, not only because of possible punishment, but also as a matter of conscience." I don't know if this clears up the question or not, because, you know, I'm still kind of confused with what that passage says, Romans 13, 3 to 5. Maybe read it over a few times for yourself. But it's kind of like what Paul says in Romans 7, 15 to 20. Paul says, "I don't really understand myself, for I want to do what is right, but I don't do it. Instead, I do what I hate. But if I know what I'm doing is wrong, this shows that I agree that the law is good. So I'm not the one doing wrong. It's the sin living in me that does it. And I know that nothing good lives in me, that is, in my sinful nature. I want to do what is right, but I can't. I want to do what is good, but I don't. I don't want to do what is wrong, but I do it anyway. But if I do what I don't want to do, I'm not really the one doing wrong. It's the sin living in me that does it." This is one of those passages that you have to read over and over again slowly and kind of take it and say, okay, all right, I understand what this says. Go on to the next verse and say, okay, I think I maybe know what this one says. But, you know, where in that last part it says, "I'm not really the one doing wrong. It's the sin living in me that does it." I can't imagine if you went before the judge for something that you got in trouble for, and you said, "Your Honor, it wasn't me doing wrong. It's a sin that lives in me that did it." Okay, he's probably not going to say, "Oh, okay, no problem. Case dismissed." He's probably going to end up putting you in a padded cell instead of just a regular cell. Again, I'm not trying to get political here, but I find it very hard to believe some of the things that I hear politicians saying, many things that really go against the Lord and His Word, some things said by people that claim to be believers. One thing I do know, the day is coming, maybe very soon, when we all will answer to the Lord. Doesn't matter if you're the President of the United States, if you're the Queen of Tonga, if you're the town dog catcher, or you're just plain little old me and you, whether you were a leader or a follower or a dissenter, you're going to be judged. Romans 20:13, we will be judged according to our deeds. James 3 tells us, "Not many of you should become teachers, my fellow believers, because you know that we who teach are judged more strictly." I imagine this verse pertains to anyone in authority, especially within the church. But those who are leaders anywhere, you know, we're going to be judged more strictly. One more passage, and you may think this certainly couldn't pertain to all leaders. 1 Thessalonians 5, 12 and 13, NIV, says, "Now we ask you, brothers and sisters, to acknowledge those who work hard among you, who care for you in the Lord, and who admonish you. hold them in highest regard and love because of their work. Live in peace with each other. In the New Living Translation, it says to show great respect. And I know what your response may be. You expect me to show this person, this is my governor, respect? You expect me to show that person that is my boss respect? You know, you may think, you know, he or she just does not care for me in the Lord. You know, that's what the scripture says, that they're caring for me in the Lord. And I can't believe that they're caring for me in the Lord the way they do their job. Now, this goes back to where we started. Respect the position. Respect the office. Even if that leader is favoring many things that go against scripture, they are the ones who will answer to the Lord for it. Don't put yourself in a position where you have to answer to him because you didn't show respect to that person. This is a work in progress for me. There are things on Facebook that I would love to post. There are things that sometimes I do post, and sometimes I wish I hadn't posted that, but there's just things that you see out there that just really go against what you believe and who you are. Well, I often end up a message with a song or part of a song, but I'm not going to today. Instead, I'm going to end with a scripture passage known as Christ's hymn. Okay, this is Philippians chapter 2, verses 5 through 11, and this is from the New Living Translation. It says, "You must have the same attitude that Christ Jesus had. Though he was God, he did not think equality with God as something to cling to. Instead, he gave up his divine privileges. He took the humble position of a slave and was born as a human being. When he appeared in human form, he humbled himself in obedience to God, and he died a criminal's death on a cross. Therefore, God elevated him to the place of highest honor and gave him the name above all other names, that at the name of Jesus, everyone would bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue declare Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father." There is never a greater leader than Jesus Christ. He could have accomplished what the Jews thought he was going to do, to overthrow the Romans. He could have called down legions of angels and wiped out the Roman army in an afternoon. But that's not what he came to earth to do. So instead, he completed his task. What he did what the Father had sent him to do, no more and no less. And that's what a good leader does. He does his job. He sets the example that he wants people following to follow. And he keeps doing what he's supposed to do until the mission is accomplished. So I want to take a moment just to pray for those of us that are Christians, those that have that relationship with Jesus Christ. And so I just lift up my brothers and sisters. And Lord, a lot of times we know just what we should be doing or not be doing, and we kind of do our own thing. But Lord, help us to read these scriptures, maybe over and over again, and to see how, you know, you want those in authority to be respected. Sometimes not because of what they do, but because of who they are and the position that they have. And so, Father, as believers, we need to do that. And sometimes it's really easy because we really agree with that man or woman that's in authority over us. But sometimes we have to just respect the position and not the person that's filling that position. And Lord, I know that, you know, we can cite many people that fall into that category, probably more than we can the first category. So Lord, help us to respect those that are in authority over us, those that have been given positions of leadership, whether it's at school or work or in government. Lord, that we would follow the way you want us to, and respect the way you need us to. And Lord, I lift up any that may be listening that don't know you, that have not begun a relationship with you. And so, Father, I just put them in your hands and just ask that they would come to know you, that they would realize that Jesus Christ is your Son, and that he came to earth, and that he died on the cross for all of our sins, and that the day is coming when he's going to return, and we just need to be ready, because he rose from the dead, and he said, I'm coming back. I don't know when, but you need to be ready when I get here, because once I get here, it's going to be too late for you to make that decision, that you need to make that decision now. So, Father, I just pray that you'll just put a burden on anyone that's listening that has not made that commitment, has not accepted Jesus Christ as your Son. The Lord, that they would do so out of love for you. In Jesus' wonderful, precious name, amen. Amen.